Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday show on Derpy Monsters. I'm Gwen Berry, today with Jack Dodell and Wayne Johnson. We're going to talk about all of the crap going on. You know, giggles and grins.
That's right.
Well, happy Labor Day to everybody, first off. All those in the 99%, that's what my latest post is about, happy Labor Day to the 99%, because they're the only ones that really toil for it. Even you know, and that encompasses a lot of people, even small business owners, because they're getting the shaft from multinational corporations as well.
Absolutely.
So, happy Labor Day to everybody, because they work their butts off.
And the word for today should be proletariat.
Yeah.
Oh, not only
you're
that,
working poor living.
But I beg you, gentlemen, to remember that if it weren't for the unions, then there wouldn't be holidays, there wouldn't even be weekends. Let's hear the unions, please.
Yep.
And let's hear for the labor unions who are actually backing. And I'm not taking a position here. I'm merely noticing that they are backing Bernie Sanders as the Democratic candidate.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, he's very pro-labor. He's established those credentials, and he's been true to them for more than 30 years, even dating to his days as mayor of Burlington, Vermont. Now he's in the U.S. Senate, and he's been very, very pro-labor the entire time, because he knows how important it is for regular people to make an adequate income so that they can buy the things and nurture their dreams, just like the big,
raise
fat
their
pigs
family,
do.
Jack.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, put a roof over their head, feed, give them health care, raising your
education.
Family is quality.
Yep.
Education.
Have a little vacation once in a while, a new dress or a new pair of pants or whatever. Yeah, you need that stuff. It's just a part of necessary human living in America, and I wish these billionaire guys would start to notice this stuff. Oh, they're too damn busy counting their own money and trying to accumulate even more. We've really gotten crazy off base in this country economically and politically.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and with everything else that's going on, a Labor Day weekend a Labor Day weekend used to be a big kickoff, and you picked as a especially a presidential candidate, didn't you pick a very important venue to be at in a Labor Day weekend?
Yeah, it shows how much labor unions and the labor movement has receded in importance in this country, and that is a big tragedy, and that's why the corporate billionaires are getting away with so much economic murder. We have got to revitalize that labor union movement. Yeah, labor movement, period. And here's to the working people. Here's to the salt of the earth. Here's to the small business owners. These people are all vital, key elements, and they're not a bunch of trust funders like the wealthy are nowadays. I mean, these are people that keep the economy moving and grooving, and hats off to every one of them.
Well, yeah, and a lot of us are out here doing it by, you know, Peter and Pauling it down the road sometimes for many years, and we're dedicated to what we do. A lot of small business owners actually love what they do. There are a lot of people. And we're talking about businesses nowadays, too, much like mine, that are, I mean, I work with a lot of different stores, but many people just have these little places on Etsy.
Right.
Or they ply their wares here and there. Or they have a website. And they do their own promoting, and that's the salt of the earth there.
It sure is. And you know what? Another thing I'd like to pay homage to worker cooperatives. They're starting to become a little bit more prevalent in this country, and boy, do I welcome that development. I'm going to do a post on that soon. I got to do my research first. But I saw a great, great narrative today by, what's his name now? Doggone it. Richard Wolf, W-O-L-F-F, the economist.
From Berkeley, right?
He's
professor
fabulous.
Professor at Berkeley?
What's that?
He's a professor at Berkeley?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, and he's, I've read his stuff. Very good.
He
man.
Was
Very
talking
good,
about worker cooperatives all over Europe and stuff. We never hear about them here because our lame, mm-hmm. our lamestream, yeah, mainstream media is lame and doesn't
no,
report the full truth.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing about small businesses that are working this way, a lot of things are happening with crowd resourcing, crowdsourcing things.
Right.
I mean, just like Roundtree 7, it was, and it only took an afternoon to raise the money to get Ra over at Air Martifeo, Roseanne, a new laptop, you know? It wasn't
cool.
a hugely expensive one, you know, but it was still, it was
But it did
change.
The job for her, and that's great.
Yeah,
that was good.
And we got it done by crowdsourcing. And a lot of people are doing that right now, and making, you know, making ends meet. I can't tell you how many folks I know personally who are doing these things. And people are very, you know, one little maker is very generous with another maker. I can't tell you how many times I've gone in when I know somebody's not doing so great. And if I have the money, I'll purchase an item from their, you know, selection so that it, you know, primes the pump and gives the seller some
exactly.
positive, you know.
That, you're the true job creator, Gwen, not this nonsense that Romney and all those other billionaires have been talking about them being the job creators. They are not the job creators. The job creators are the consumers who drive demand. So enough of this supply side economics. It's time for a heavy dose of demand side economics. We need it bad, and we need it right now.
Yeah.
So let's
trickle
go for it, gang.
Well, it trickles up. It doesn't trickle down.
Yeah,
right,
it's entrepreneurs, these little folks who are making little, you know, little towns run
right.
and hang on. And they're very much a big part, I think, of the upsurge in the economy and the new prosperity that is beginning to show. So,
the biggest job growth doesn't occur in the corporate realm, at multinational corporations. All they do is pillage and plunder, and they leave nothing left for anybody else. They're so self-serving. They don't do a damn thing for anybody except the shareholders and the CEOs. And, you know, the real growth occurs from the bottom up, not from the top down.
Well, let me interject here real quick.
Yeah.
The anti-labor aspects, the rhetoric of all this started in the McCarthy areas because this is, you know, communists, socialists, all, you know, just all kinds of labeling them, all kinds of McCarthyism verbiage.
Mm-hmm.
And then people have finally bought into that crap.
And
it perpetuated from there. But it really started. So if you're, you know, saying all unions are just corrupt and it all belongs to, you know, they're communists and socialists and all this, all you're doing is repeating what
they failed. Something of
and
long
the,
ago. And Reagan aided that
McCarthy.
Narrative a lot, too. He was the worst president we've ever had, really the worst.
He
next to George W. Bush.
With that one move.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely.
Good point, Wayne. Very good point. Yeah, so as a small business owner, Gwen, you face a lot of challenges that you have to figure out and deal with yourself, don't you? You don't have any big buddies that can help you out. You've got to do it yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I do, and it's a wing and a prayer, but I do have help. I like to say the universe provides, and if I trust.
Oh, yeah.
It happens. That includes, you know, this monthly fee here on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really low, but somehow this keeps getting paid because, you know, you care about something, you let it happen. The more positive you are, and this is something people who are trying to make their way should know. The more positive you are, the more you see yourself making money, doing things to make money, and putting your focus there, what you focus on is what you bring back home. And that's true. It's absolutely true. People are talented at many different things, and a lot of folks don't have the time to even discover that because they're out there in a survival mode, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when... everything breaks down and you have to, you know, folks are surprising. You know, they stand up, they directly face whatever tragedy and they turn around to rebuild. They do immensely surprising things that turn out to be, you know, that shithole you fall into turns out to be an actual bucket of roses in your life.
Well, it brings up a couple of very relevant adages from a long time back, one of which is where there's a will, there's a way, and we've seen that proven many ways, politically, economically, socially. And also another important one is necessity is the mother of invention. When you have to do something, your back's against the wall, you will find a way to do it.
Right. Well, you know, you do, there's a lot to be said, too. I think I should mention this in my own journey. I mean, I've spent over 20 years creating what I do, and I've worked in corporate offices in Boston to help put, you know, rent above my head. I've come to a place where I thought I might be evicted. I've faced a lot of crises along the way, but there's always been an angel on my shoulder. I've always thought, well, I will do the best that I can, and I just let it go. I don't let myself crash and burn. Oftentimes, the mother who has two little children doesn't know what to do or where to turn, and gosh, if she's, you know, an immigrant and she has no family around or friends, she's only, you know, gotten a job. It's just, you know, we have to be of service to each other. We have to care about the community. Do what you can where you can, even if it's just a smile and a friendly, wow, that's a good job, thank you.
And Gwen, I would want to interject here what you just stated are the real true Christian values, the teachings of Jesus.
That's exactly right.
Not the crap that's coming out today.
Yep, exactly.
You just handed me a great compliment, me being a neo-pagan.
Well, I understand that, but you know, neo-pagans are good too, all right?
Well, and not only that, though, we always tend to look at Christianity strictly as a religious aspect, but no, it's a philosophy. It's a guide for leading your life in a proper manner, in a good manner, and it's been perverted by so many people over the years, and it's been twisted and turned, and it's almost been made unrecognizable. But no, I echo Wayne's sentiments.
A little over 2,000 years of that, it's been a great cause for war and all that, and I guess what we said earlier, a lot of, especially...
But not the basic underlying philosophy. It was always the people that tried to run with it and do it their way and pervert it to their own needs.
Agreed. In my considered opinion, Yeshua ben Joseph was a rabbi, a teacher, and a healer, who was also a political activist against the powers of faith that were so bloody, greedy, and subservient to the Romans who oppressed their own people. Their people.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the same story. I mean, you know, the hero.
Same story, different faces, you know?
And in this country right now, you have like this Kentucky civil servant who.
Oh, Kim
Ben
Davis,
you know.
Boo, boo, boo.
Well, she's been jailed for, you know, her defense is that, you know, this is not God's law, but God is not signing her paycheck.
Exactly. And this is a law, this is a country based on laws, not on religion. And there's a separation of church and state. Whether she wants to acknowledge it or not, it's true.
Yeah,
You know, she says she's following the Bible.
No
and
way.
The teachings of the Bible. And I'm just going to make a couple mention here because we can segue into this. Right out of the Bible, Exodus 21:7, selling your daughter into slavery as sanctioned in the above Bible verse. I wonder what the going price is for these fundamentalist Christians that say they follow the Bible.
Yeah.
Exodus 35:2, working on the Sabbath warrants being put to death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but gentlemen,
go ahead.
That's said before, you got to get the assholiness out of this. You just have to take the dogma of religion and put it aside and say, what is the law? What is honestly the law? I mean, people have worked hard on that side of the fence, you know?
Well, first of all, you know, it's amazing how these conservatives, these dyed-in-the-wool conservatives who are so supposedly Christian, always quote the Old Testament. And, you know, if you look at the history of Christianity, when Jesus came, he changed the game. He didn't refute everything,
but
he did just change it.
You mean like...
Right. He says, exactly. He was so radical, they had to put him to death.
Yeah,
you mean
right.
Like Mr. Huckabee, who, you know, likes to get into that vein? I mean, other than the fact that a lot of these fellows like to be spanked, it doesn't belong in the conversation when we're talking about the law.
And government, right.
And about the human value of what's going on right now. It's kind of hard to sit here, be an American right now, watch a guy travel the land bombastically using out-and-out racism as his platform for, you know, ginning up the troops.
The ignorance people.
I was going to say, when I had the one-on-one with Jack Kemp at a bull roast for then-Congressman Lane Gilchrist, basically I told him, you know, the Republican Party was going to regret the day that they embraced this reactionary right, this uber-conservative, because, you know, they were just a bunch of, they were the Klansmen, they were the John Birch Society, they were so, like, drinking the Kool-Aid fundamentalist kind of Christians. Holier than now, and his comment was, well, it's a good demographics to get whipped up at election time.
You know,
basically,
you know,
he says, we can start whipping up the nut jobs at election time. Go ahead, Gwen.
I see you in there, Michael. It's nice to see you. We have an old friend, an old blogging friend who's dropped by for the first time.
Oh, Michael Hugh?
Yeah.
Hi, Michael. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Give him a big congratulations. I'm not sure, but I think Michael got himself a wife. I'm not sure.
Oh, congratulations if that's true.
And so it's nice to see you, Michael. But what I was speaking about just before that, I can't even think.
Hypocrisy and Donald Trump and Huckabee and all of that.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about, you know, basically whipping up the nut jobs for their own personal gains on the Republican Party side.
Right.
They look for these idiots, these non-critical thinking people, and then they can program and then feed into their mind the crap, whatever they want, and then they will run out and just repeat it as if they're well-informed.
Can I just for, I mean, how many election cycles have we been through together, Jack? Three or four now,
yeah, right. Be the fourth, I think.
We know this is just the, you know, the DNA show before the real stage, you know, is erected. And these popularity things that go up and down usually turn out to be, that's not the guy. You know, that is not the guy.
Yeah.
Although I will say a difference here. There's just way too much, and maybe it's because I'm seeing Mrs. Clinton in front of the camera, but there's way too much similarity between Bernie's numbers jumping the way they are with people, grassroots, you know, enthusiasm for the fella, and Barack Obama running against Mrs. Clinton. It seems like, and I'm not upset about it at all, but, you know, I'm not
part
here.
Of it's the nature of being a Clinton. You draw people against you that way, and the people you draw against you are very, very strong. They're very strongly against you for a number of different reasons. But in Bernie's case, he's completely unlike Barack Obama. He's been steady and true on the same course for 35 years.
Yeah,
and Barack Obama came
a
flash in the pan,
say,
came out of nowhere and talked good for a while, and we all believed him, and then we got, you know, kind of hoodwinked. But we could have done worse, but we could have done a lot better.
Well, you know, you can't – well, okay, that's yesterday. We're standing here in front of
right.
the stage setting of a brand-new election cycle.
Right.
And we haven't – I've been listening to Dr. Stein.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I like what she has to say. I agree with much of what she puts on the table. It's
sure.
what she hasn't got to put on the table about running the country that I understand she's not the correct candidate, in my opinion, for the presidency because she hasn't got the chops on foreign
right.
policy.
Right.
Or our broader, vaster economic plan, and there's nobody that she's got in her circle that is advising her well enough to even address these particular.
What was her medical background, Gwen? Do you know? Do you remember offhand?
GP.
Oh, GP. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not really. You know, that's terrible. I should know. I worked for the last time.
No,
out.
But I mean, there are areas of expertise, and I just was curious to see where she came from in the medical field. Not
she
that
has,
it matters, but there are periods, there are areas of expertise, and that's why Dr. Ben Carson is nowhere near qualified for the presidency. It's an absolute insult to everybody that he's even running, you know?
Exactly.
You
talk about a hypocrite. But
yeah.
Ben Carson is from the Johns Hopkins, you know, from Baltimore, my home
right.
state of Maryland. We've been exposed to him long before he's made national prominence.
Mm-hmm.
And he was full of crap. He came up from the streets, true. But he
mm-hmm.
had every social program to help him get to that point where he is. Once
mm-hmm.
he's there, now he's speaking against every social program that got him there because, well,
yeah.
it's good enough for me, but it's, you know.
Like
one
of the Supreme Court, like Clarence Thomas has done.
Exactly.
You know? What
exactly.
a poor
he's
example.
Come-a-tom.
You know, another thing that should be mentioned but is completely overlooked in the mainstream press, this guy, this Carson guy, he has settled a number of potential malpractice cases out of court, settled them
mm-hmm.
by cash. And, you know, it's never mentioned, but, you know, it's very relevant because it speaks to the way he does business, you know. And that's,
well,
I don't like that at all.
Is that hyperbole or is that?
No.
It's actual.
I don't have all the details, but I'll get on it for you, Gwen, and we'll talk about it down at a later date.
I'm listening. I don't let my temper get the best of me anymore when these guys say, "Wow, okay, I threw something at the computer today when Sarah Palin was talking."
Yeah, but that's forgivable and understandable.
I ran out of TV bricks.
Why do I get the microphone? I'm so she never ceases to get my goat.
I can't stand her.
And it's stupid. I give such energy to it. But the thing is, I listened to Mr. Carson speaking, and I thought, you know, geez, I want my leaders to have a hell of a lot more on the ball than I do. I want their intelligence to shine
right,
out.
Right,
absolutely.
That's what drew me originally to Barack Obama.
He speaks like a man in severe need of a lobotomy.
But this guy, I thought, my God.
I thought he already had one.
I could whip him with my hands tied behind my back in any kind of a back and forth.
He's way off in a different, distant dungeon somewhere. He has no clue what's going on. And the same thing can be said for Carly Fiorina.
That's me not seeing something, though. I mean, am I not seeing the whole picture? I really am looking to see everything that's out there this time around, gentlemen, because it seems that we're diving into a territory, and you all know this, and
mm-hmm.
listeners know this, that we're coming down the pike here. We've got crisis-level stuff going on across the leadership across
the globe.
I mean, very few, but the few that are standing out, and I mean, oh, my gosh, you paid me such a great compliment in saying that I have a very Christian point of view. Thank you. I understand
mm-hmm.
where that comes from.
Right, and I'm not, you know how I mean. This is,
I did have a classical education. I am out of
the... Yeah, Matthew 25, that's completely overlooked by these so-called conservative Christians.
But here's the thing, I would, this Pope has, I call him like Whoopi. I call him Franny. I mean, every time he gets that, I know there's a lot of politics behind it and everything, but the thing that he does is he stands up and he says, and I can't help but think more and more the fellow is sincere. It's not
That's what's scary.
It's not a PR put-up job.
No, right.
He does his best to be fair on issues of abortion, divorce, gay marriage. He isn't going to come out and say, yes, this is right, but he says, you know, patience and acceptance is something that the church community, that his peerage needs to look at and be walking with for the greater good of the global community. I mean, it's stunning.
He's a real mind blower. I like this Pope Francis.
I'm not trying to be some kind of overzealous fan here. Please don't get me wrong on that. But I mean, how can you not look at the news these days and you know, if you're paying attention to your social media, really, we should unplug for so many days a week. I think that's just sanity. Mm-hmm. But and you see the picture of that little boy on a beach what's going on, and the whipping post that immigration is here in this and what is going on in Europe right now. And you have Pope come out and say, look, all of my parishes open your doors to these immigrants throughout Europe. I mean, that's a lot of real estate. This is the richest real estate brokerage on the planet, the Holy Catholic Church. And he's telling them, you know, you need to open your doors to this. That's something I never expected. And you guys know me. I'm in the booga booga side of things. I'm on that rainbow. And I'm looking for the paradigm shift. And it befuddles me that I'm saying part of that positive paradigm shift on an overall...
It's coming from the Vatican.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Not the Vatican, but the fella that's sitting there with the ring on.
The head of it. The head of it all.
It's really stunning, and that's very...
It's true leadership, It's true Christianity in action. It's not a bunch of gloss. It's not a bunch of PR. It's not a bunch of politically designed nonsense. It's the real deal. And I applaud him for that, for his efforts. Practical or impractical, I don't care. He's doing the best he can with a very difficult situation to make it as fair as possible for the entire world. And that needs applauding.
I am in favor of supporting him, not blanket. I support him when he does such obviously right
benevolent things.
Yeah, and then of course we got the big surprise today, and I'll bring this up so it's on the table. This deal that Kerry and Obama have made with Iran is important, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
Finally.
It's not perfect, but it's better than nothing.
Let me, because we've kind of heard this, you know, Obama's given and Kerry's, you know, those liberal Democrats have just given Iran the bomb. Yeah, I thought you remember who was at the table.
Yeah,
China, Russia,
irresponsible
Germany,
talk.
France, Italy. You know,
exactly.
You know, all these countries were in together on this saying, Iran, if you want to join back to the world community, you have to meet these criteria.
Right.
And we will give you X amount of years. And, you know, if you get to this litmus test point, then we will remove these sanctions. You get to this point, we'll remove these sanctions. Because
it's
Iran.
Pure common sense.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know, but then we have those, like, they want to bomb it and blow it up and, you know, make it one big smoking hole with a nuclear weapon.
Well, you know,
so
the Cheney crowd, the neocon
crowd
are still out there, and they want war with Iran in the worst possible way.
Yep.
How could
And let's remember this, too. Reagan and his administration sold Iran the weapons.
Right.
Well,
so if you want to get down to it, let's bring it down to where it all started.
Well, where it all lies right now is that it's winning. 34 Democrats have come forward, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is still the head of the Democrat Party. I've got my problems with this woman, but
Democratic National Committee or whatever. She needs to be removed because she's not doing the job. All she's there, she's just a show for Hillary Clinton. She wants to do everything she can to limit the amount of debates so that she can get Hillary Clinton in the White House, which is wonderful from a female perspective, and that's great. But you know what? It goes beyond just that perspective, the importance of everything going on in the world in this election.
These are not two women. Can I just say this as the only woman at the table right now?
Yeah,
these are not two women that I would put on the table as the proper leadership symbols for women today. They're both wholly owned subsidiaries of whatever corporations or plutocracy that is paid for their elections and has given them the proper tools and words to actually, you know, tell people, well, it's all right if I'm taking money from this place because what I'm doing is this, which is just gouging and depleting more and more. But I'm getting off on a tangent. I don't need to. But
no, I understand where you're coming from, Gwen. And, you know, I've said for a long time it would be a lot better for this country were Elizabeth Warren about ready to enter the White House rather than Hillary Clinton. So,
agreed.
It would be a lot better. No candidate is going to be perfect. We're always going to have an issue with one or two points or whatever. But by and large, when you put it all in the aggregate, Elizabeth Warren would be far better for much more of this country than anything Hillary Clinton could ever possibly do.
You know, she's kind of like, and if you look at it, guess whose seat she's sitting in? And he, not the guy before, but the guy who held it for so long before that. You know, he did so much to shape the direction in very many positive ways for this country.
Yeah,
and
the liberal lion. He was a great man.
Yeah. And if we can have people that are, I don't agree with all of her ideals or a lot of her goals, but I do agree with major ones in many ways.
Right.
And if we have positive people like that who are working to reestablish some sort of level playing ground economically, especially in the Senate, she is serving this country a hell of a lot better than sitting in the White House.
Very true. She needs some coattails along with her, though.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
She's got a few that are allied to her, but not enough, and we've got to work real hard to make sure that there are more progressives of like mind that are added to the Senate this next election. So we've got our work cut out for us.
There are still quite a few people that are on the fence with this Iranian treaty that need to get emails, need to get telephone calls, and in Connecticut, Blumenthal needs to be addressed. So does Maria Cantwell in Washington.
Yep.
Gary Peters in Michigan, Mark Warner in Virginia. Good gosh.
Yeah. I don't understand that.
In Oregon. Then we have the definitely no crowd that really needs, you know, but you know who those guys. I mean,
They're hopeless. They're hopeless. And this damn Joe Cotton guy or whatever the hell his name is, that guy is he's a treason guy. He belongs on trial for treason. Senator Cotton out of Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. For the
Tom Cotton, what an absolute jerk.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah, he's going to side with Bibi Netanyahu against his own government. What the hell is he getting paid for by taxpayers for? He belongs in jail.
That one. Right,
he belongs
right.
in jail.
Yeah, that is the definition of treason.
I think by the time that this country sees the next president into office, I think that there's a lot of backfiring going on with the bad reaction. And, you know, it's like here, over in Israel, it's a few Zionist ignoramuses and warmongers.
They've gamed their own system for their own benefit.
Well, yeah, and they're being found out. Now, there's a young woman who ran against Netanyahu. Her name is Kiki. I can't even pronounce her last name, and I don't have notes here to say who she is, but she came very close to ousting him and her party to ousting him in the Knesset. And I think that by the time a new president comes in here, you're going to see Israel, the power in Israel begin to shift.
I hope so.
Well, it only makes
what he's doing in Palestine is so illegal, and it's absolute it's atrocity. It's laden with atrocities.
It's apartheid. It's apartheid.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
There's no other word for that. It's apartheid, and I am against Israel for it. And I have a very hard time with Senator Sanders supporting Israel. Or blanketly the way he is when
and a number of others as well, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz. But it's the Jewish question. It's because they're Jewish and they have a sentimentality toward Israel. Israel right or wrong, and Israel I don't view it that way. I view it a lot differently. But again, that's one issue. It's an important one, but I'm not gonna divorce myself from a candidate just because of one issue. I just never have been that way. And I'll live and let live to a certain extent, and I believe that common sense will rule out in the case of Bernie Sanders. I don't think he'll allow Israel to completely decimate the Palestinian people the way Netanyahu wants to do.
Right. Well, the thing is once he gets, at least he does have the voice for those in Israel and the Jewish people in this country.
Right.
In other words, he's got the position to be able to call them out on it.
Exactly.
So you and I might not be able to.
There are groups. Now, one of my favorite groups is the Young Jewish Voices. They get up and they talk all over the world in different in front of different governments and in communities as Jewish people across the planet about what's going on that's wrong there in Israel. But there are a lot of the candidates are facing a lot of groups. And I would bring up, again, Black Lives Matter. These groups are not going away. They should not.
Right. No, they shouldn't. Right.
These presidential candidates need to address them so that everyone hears it. So
and, you know, the only way they will is if they're in their face. And that's... it's a good thing, not a bad thing. So,
the first candidate who brings them, I can't believe that was the other thing that bothered me about Sanders. Why would he turn away from them? That didn't make sense to me.
Well,
why
if you look at the footage again, Gwen, you'll realize that he was just trying to abide by the rules of the people that had him there. And he said, you have to talk to this fellow about that, getting on stage and all that stuff. And I think he did the proper thing. Yes, he should have said, well, wait a minute here. If I may take a moment, I'd like to help this woman address her issues for the cause of the black people who are oppressed and are being being shot needlessly and denied their rights and all that stuff. He didn't do that, but he could have been a lot worse. He could have actually opposed them the way a lot of the Republicans are today, you know?
Well, Jack, let me interject here, too. They weren't interested in anything he had to say. The mission of those that were there,
to take one of them was wearing a Sarah Palin button.
Right, exactly. Right, to take over that podium what their message. His only choice was to walk away and let them have it.
Well, can I say this from this point of view? Let me just interject this.
Sure, by all means.
In the '80s, I did something called acting up. And I got in the same with politicians. I got my ass thrown in jail in New York City. I got into their faces because they would not address a crisis. And finally, it took people like Elizabeth Taylor and a few others, but the politicians started to listen in the cities where the crisis was so bad. People were dying. And if you don't think the crisis isn't as bad with Black Lives Matter, then you're not understanding the situation as it really is. That's my point of view on it.
No, but my one point here, Gwen, that I think is important to note, this woman was wearing a Sarah Palin button. That led me to believe, and I still believe, that she was put there with probably money or something to try and derail Bernie Sanders.
Yes, absolutely.
She was a shill, you mean.
Exactly.
That's right.
You could be right, but I do know that around here locally, there's some small groups down here in my area that have gotten together, and they went after Patrick Murphy at a rally in West Palm Beach a couple of weeks back, and Mr. Murphy left the stage. He didn't address.
Too bad.
I think the reason he didn't is because he just doesn't understand the situation. He doesn't want to put his foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
But he didn't know what to because he didn't really know what to say. But to me, that's inexcusable, especially for a Democratic.
You should have your mouth dropped down open, and you should have your ears wide open.
He's running for Rubio's seat.
Right.
If he's doing that, then he has no business on that stage talking to a group of people he doesn't, as a Democratic leader, without knowing what's going on in the civil rights matters that are facing this country right now.
Right, exactly.
Jeez. I mean, you know, and equally, we're sending these people out, the ones who are running to go to the national offices, they're going to be doing all of our foreign policy. They're responsible for all of these choices and decisions. And it's not unfair to ask them, why do you support Israel's open apartheid? Explain it to me.
Yeah,
what is the reasoning there? What is going on? Because from my point of view, well, you know, but please explain it to me. And Lois Frankel, who's got a national congressional seat here, she's just got her hand out, taking money from the companies, and she's Jewish, so everything is pro-Israel.
That
kind of status quo has just got to be addressed. And if if you have to get in their faces with a camera looking at, then that's what you do. I mean, what is that to
say? As long as you're not a shill, and even if you are a shill, as long as the message gets out, I guess that's what's got to happen. So you got a good point there, Glenn.
Somebody might pay me to do this.
What's that now?
Somebody might pay me to do this.
The wrong kind of people. You don't want that kind of money, my friend. I'll promptly order you a Sarah Palin button, and you can wear it and do your thing.
Oh my goodness!
Her eyes come around like little twirly games, you know.
But no, I mean, you raise a very, very valid point, Gwen, and it's so important. People have got to look beyond the money, and that's the problem these days. It's so expensive to run for money to run for office, and it's so expensive to keep your office. You've got to spend an inordinate amount of time every day raising money. That shit has got to disappear and fast. That's why I say movetoamend.org.
Yeah.
Let's end this insanity with money.
Yes, yes, sir.
Well stated, Jack. Very well stated.
Yeah, it's just insane. It's just you turn into a government of giveaway, 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 you know, just so you can placate people with money. I'm sorry. That's not the way it is. It's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not democracy. That's oligarchy.
I was going to say, and that was the such a travesty of Citizens United ruling by the Supreme Court.
How utterly foolish.
By the same people they just ruled in favor for.
That's why we need a constitutional amendment saying that corporations are not people. They're groups of people, but they're not people, and they do not, and money is not free speech. That's insane.
I have a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
What do you think of Mr. Trump signing the pledge to the Republican Party?
That's a dog and pony show.
Yeah.
There's nothing binding on it. If they decide, if he finally gets purged out and said, look, you're not, you know, Karl Rove put up enough money, he's got Jeb Bush now in the position that he wants him, or whatever conservative that, you know, the Koch brothers threw up there, he will bash them all to hell. Trump is Trump. If he doesn't win, he's going to pout and throw a temper.
Yeah, he's got a little taste of the limelight, and he loves it, and he can't give it up. He's addicted to it. And, it's a dangerous thing, but...
Mundane, yeah. I think it's just that mundane, too. He's greedy for the attention.
Oh, you bet he is, yeah. He's very vain, a very vain man.
You know, if I can just slip into Gwen the healer, Gwen the, you know, spiritual person here, I have seen some really great speakers and entertainers on stages. And I will tell you, when I saw Barack Obama speak, he really radiated out to the people. He had an auric field that was just a great energy. He had a lot of sincerity going on in the moment. When you see a guy like Trump on a stage, he's like a huge vampire that's sucking the energy off of everybody.
Yeah, he's just sucking the air out of the room.
Really? He is.
I like that. That works.
Very good example. Very true. Yep.
He is true. Huge energy vampire. He'll suck you dry. He sucks the reporters that he sits down with. He tries to suck the energy out of them, and that's what he's doing by being.
Well, he wants to control the event and control the conversation and turn it toward his advantage. It's an old tech. Right. It's an old business trick that guys pull it all the time.
Yeah, it is. I understand that. It's also being a psychic vampire.
Exactly.
Sucking the energy out of people. And the journalists know this. Did you see how Chuck Todd was responding to him?
Oh, Chuck Todd.
He's an idiot, too. But
he's a wimp.
Did you see Chuck Todd's foot?
I don't watch Chuck Todd.
Down, up and down. He couldn't stay still. He was so irritated.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know enough about it, does he? It's terrible. And whereas Sarah Palin, when she was sitting with journalists, she was like melting into the ground and then would come back up with something, just absolutely anything she'd say. Absolutely
any old thing to say.
Well, number one, when they were asking her questions, she didn't comprehend the question. And then when they stopped, she says, okay, I guess this is where I was supposed to talk. And all she did was whatever was on her mind, like her latest one here. Immigrants in this country need to be learning to speak American. If not, they need to go back to where they came from. Yeah, because we have an American language. You know, we don't speak English, we speak American.
And when is the last time you started speaking Iroquois, Sarah Palin?
Well, that's right. Well, that's the other thing. I kind of made a note of this.
Do you ever think about, gentlemen, you guys are out in the world there. If you live in any urban or cosmopolitan area, you know this too. I mean, most people who speak Spanish are fully capable of speaking 2 to 3 different languages. That's no mean trick.
Very well stated.
That is intelligence, and intelligence that this I couldn't even back into.
It's a sign of a cultured mind and an educated mind. Not you got to have it my way or the highway. That mentality is so stupid. It's downright stupid, Sarah Palin, just like you are.
Let me interject this right here. Let's take a moment here because I do want to lay a little homage to the gentleman. His last name was basically the last. He was 93 years old. the last Navajo code talker. The Navajo code talkers, because they could speak Navajo, and then they morphed that into a code language. That was a radio communication the Japanese never could crack.
Right.
Well,
cool.
The last
That's
29 that were with the Marines, you know, attacking the islands, taking them back from the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
He was 93 years old, and he just passed away here June the 4th.
Mm.
Because
he
spoke a different language, not American. Not saying our parent was American.
American.
He gave a great contribution and the other 28 to this country of helping to win the war in World War II against Japan.
Right.
They couldn't crack that code. You know, the this year we've seen the last of the Tuskegee Airmen has crossed.
Oh, he did. Yes. Okay.
And then I saw in the news somewhere today that
remarkable group
that a Japanese American who worked through it and became a tail gunner in World War II for the American side in his 90s crossed. I think yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, he
He
flew 58 missions over Japan, bombing it.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Again, another true American-born hero.
Yeah.
Just happened to be of Japanese descent.
Yeah. Well, that would disqualify him in Trump's book, in Sarah Palin's book.
Absolutely.
You know, these people are so narrow-minded, and they're so unaccepting, and they're so intolerant. Why are we plagued with these idiots for election after election after election? Why don't they just disappear? It's incredible to me that they're still around.
Sarah Palin's so dumb, she doesn't know she's making these stupid-ass mistakes.
she doesn't have enough intelligence to know
how ignorant her statements are.
Yeah.
Chester Nez was his name. What is, in your opinion, what is the most primary issue that should be the one that counts the most in the upcoming elections? What issue would you have on the table first?
Boy, it's hard to decide. There's so many. I would say money in politics, but it's impractical because nobody'd take a stand on it actively because they know they'd be shooting themselves in the foot. But in my mind, it's very important to get the money out of politics. We need public campaign financing so that we can get congressmen back, and congressmen and congressmen women back to doing their job instead of trying to bring up money every day.
They do not pursue this issue in a presidential campaign.
No, in any campaign.
I'll say for me that the 99%, the meat and potatoes, working middle class, mm-hmm. has to come to the realization since the Reagan's trickle-down theory for the last 30, 40 years has not worked. You have been hosed. You have been urinated on up above by those that have sold you a bill of goods that is not accurate. My favorite architect, and I think the world of him, I love him, Frank Lloyd Wright made the statement, if you believe in capitalism, then it is the right of the American worker to collectively unionize, have a united voice, mm-hmm. and those in controlling their destiny.
Yes, and a seated
that
table.
That is just as much a part of capitalism as anything else.
These are important issues, but I think the most important issue that I would like to see these presidential candidates address is because I think it will have a downhill cluster effect onto many other issues, but I think the crisis of our environment and climate change or global warming. Really.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Now, you're talking presidential politics. I agree with you 100% on that.
That's world politics of global warming.
Yeah, and the economic aspects, too, but they can't be ignored. They've got to be addressed. Both have to be addressed, but climate is absolutely, absolutely profoundly necessary right now. We've got to address this before we're all gone.
Well, and let me come full circle here. It's when the working middle class finally reestablishes their voice instead of the 1% saying, you know, spreading the disinformation. Because I have people say, oh, that's all propaganda. That's just a thing that Obama's doing and using his EPA. It's not true. It's not true, right?
Well,
it's
Al Gore's liberal
nonsense.
It is man-made.
Yeah, it is happening.
Yep.
Stop your ignorance.
Yep.
And the working middle class needs to get that collective voice to say, we will not be exterminated by your demand for wanting your own personal wealth.
Yes, exactly. And we got to stop this and nip it right now. We've got to do it right now. We can't wait any longer.
Exactly.
Gentlemen,
and that's
good point,
the working middle class needs to get that collective voice.
We
good
are
point, Quinn.
We are at the top of the hour. So, Jack, will you give people a wafer? Will you please give out your call letters, let people know where to find you and what you're putting out on the web?
Yes, it's the Saturday Afternoon Post. My current one is a salute to all the people in the 99% for a happy Labor Day. After, by midweek next week or toward the end of next week, I'm going to try and put together a post dealing with worker cooperatives around the world. We don't hear about it much in this country because there are very few of them here, but they're very successful and they're profitable overseas, and they're an alternative to this horrible, greedy capitalist stuff that we're just dragged through the mud with constantly here. That's it for me for now, but that's going to be next week we're going to have Bert Deming on this show. He's a great blogger and he's on the lefty like us, and you're going to love him. He's a wonderful man. He's going to be here.
Very good.
That's right.
Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. There you'll find some of the personal experiences, environmental battles that I have fought in the past. The one-on-one that I've had with prominent politicians and voicing my views, and when they didn't follow them, I was able to point to them and say, told you so, I was right, you should have listened.
Good point.
Thank you, Wayne. I want very much to once again say hi there to
Michael Hugh.
Yeah, to Michael Hugh, who says, keep up the
and
good work.
And a new bride.
and come see us sometime. Call in, join that conversation.
That's right. In the meantime, I know we can count on you, Michael, to do what I advise everybody to do every week, and that is keep pushing forward.
Absolutely.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being with me once again on the Sunday evening for this show. I want to remind everybody to go over and check out the writers and what's posted over at our sponsor, Roundtree7, that's the number 7.com. And also, stop by my place over at daughtersofisis.com. Check out what we're doing. If you like something good to smell or anything of the healing nature, just come by and say hello to us. Anyways, it's been the Sunday show. Thank you, guys. It's been
you
the Sunday.
Absolutely. Thank you, Glenn. Jack, you too, friend.
And Michael Hugh and everybody in the chat room, good to hear from you again. Keep up the good work, everybody, and we'll talk to you next Sunday with Bert Deming.
And everybody out there, we'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye now.
It's been the Sunday show. Jack Hotel and Frank Johnson. Thank you for tuning in. Talk to you again. That's all she wrote.